Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus, the one who loves us and washes us in His blood, is the one about whom the Apostle John wrote in his book called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. While God reveals Himself throughout all of Scripture, it is especially true in the last book of the New Testament. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 1 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 4 through 6.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation chapter 1. And we will be looking at verses 4 through 6 and then coming to the communion table. Revelation chapter 1 verses 4 through 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace, which is God's free, undeserved, unmerited favor, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince or ruler of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us. The idea is once and for all freed us and released us. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace. Once again, as has been noted many times, take note of the order, which always comes first. Grace. Grace always precedes in any of these letters, always precedes peace. And the reason is simple. A person will never experience the peace of God until they have experienced the regenerating grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is peace, is first. That's God's free, undeserved, unmerited favor that is bestowed upon us in the person of Jesus Christ, who John says in his gospel is full of grace and truth. So John extends grace to every one of the seven churches. And then peace. This word peace means quietness, rest, to be set at one again. And when you have experienced God's grace, you begin to experience His peace in your life. And by God's grace, we as believers have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God bestows upon His children that grace and that peace abundantly. God just doesn't trickle blessings to His people. He pours them out. His grace is abundant. His love is abundant. His peace is abundant. The book of Revelation is a book that begins and ends with reference to the grace of God. Verses 4 and 5 begins this book with a proclamation of the grace to the seven churches which are in Asia. And the book of Revelation ends with a proclamation of this grace to all who read and heed the words of this book. Revelation 22:21 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." The grace of God. Where would we be without the grace of God? Paul says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." You look at those that are not saved and you have to make that oft-repeated declaration, "There go I, but by the grace of God." And from whom does this grace come from? It comes from the everlasting living God. John there in verse 4 says, "From Him who is and who was and who is to come." The idea there is timelessness, a timeless being. It's connected with the name Yahweh found in the Old Testament. It's never enough to say that God is, or just to say that he was, or just to say that he is to come. He's all of that. He's a timeless, timeless being. He's God before there was time, before there was creation. He ever existed. And as Lord over eternity, our God rules the past, he rules the present, he rules the future. And since there is going to be specific references to God the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ, God the Son, many of the commentators believe, and I agree with them, that this is a particular reference to God the Father. And then there's a reference to the seven spirits that speaks of the completeness, the perfection of God the Holy Spirit. It speaks of totality. 7 days make a complete week. 7 notes comprise the musical scale. 7 colors in a rainbow. It speaks of completeness, perfection. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, there's a description of the 7 aspects or attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Doesn't mean that there are 7 different spirits of God, but the Spirit of God has all of these characteristics and much more because he is God and he holds them in fullness and in perfection. And we're going to see reference to the 7 spirits when we get into chapters 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5. The fullness of the Spirit. God desires you and I as children to be walking in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there is Jesus, the faithful witness. That is an understatement. The word witness there in the Greek is martus, from where we get the English word martyr. The faithful one. This speaks of our Lord's utter reliability. This speaks of our Lord's faithfulness to his Father and to his people, even unto death. Jesus is the faithful witness to what the living God is like. When people say, "What is God like?" Jesus said these words, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So when people want to know what is the eternal God like, point them to Jesus. Everything that Jesus did on earth, every miracle that he did, how he was moved with compassion as he moved among the multitude, that was the Father leading Jesus. What a wonderful Lord we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. And it says here that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. The term firstborn does not refer to time as if number 1, then number 2, then number 3, then number 4. It speaks of his preeminence. Jesus is preeminent among all those who were or will be resurrected. We know that in the Old and New Testament, there were people who were raised from the dead, both before and after Jesus. But then they died after Jesus rose again. He was gloriously placed at the right hand of the Father, where he sits as our high priest, where he sits as our advocate, where he sits as the last Adam, where he sits as the Son of Man, Lord over all, Lord over all. Jesus, by his resurrection, conquered death. He conquered death. He defeated death. That's what separates Jesus from all those other pseudo-Christs of these other religions. The Jesus of the Scriptures, fully God, fully man, conquered death, who rules and reigns forever and ever. And it's that Jesus, the biblical Jesus, that those other phony Jesuses, their knees are going to bow. They're going to see who the real Messiah is one day. They're going to bow. They're going to confess him as Lord. And he's also the prince, this literally means, or the ruler of the kings of the earth. Before the book of Revelation is over, Jesus is going to take dominion over every earthly king. And at the present time, Jesus does rule and he does have a kingdom, but it's a kingdom that is not yet fully visible. It's a kingdom that only dwells within the hearts of his people. It's interesting. You know, we have all of these summits now, the G8, the G this, and the G that, and I wonder, oh gee, why are they getting together? And the world leaders today may think that they are in control of the affairs of this planet, and to some degree, they are. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is truly in control of it all. Daniel 4 says in verses 17, verse 25, verse 32, and verse 35, that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. That's our Christ. He rules in the kingdom of men. The prophet Ezekiel stated that the hooks of the jaws are in the nations. Proverbs 21:1 says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he pleases. The living God, the living Lord, is the sovereign, almighty ruler of the universe. And the Lord Jesus is presently aligning all the nations to fulfill his eternal decrees. God's on the throne, and he rules and he reigns. And this great and mighty God, it says, to him who loved us. Isn't it amazing that someone so holy, so pure, so perfect could love us? But he does. Now, the New American Standard, the NIV, and the New Living Translations translates this to him who loves us, and indeed he does. But when John writes that Jesus loved us, it is with the intention of causing us to look back to the cross, to remember where he demonstrated that love for us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the work of Jesus Christ on the cross is God's ultimate proof of his love for mankind. He may give additional proof, and he does each and every day, but he can give no greater proof than sending his son. Perhaps you today as a believer, you're looking at your present circumstances that may be gloomy, they may be dark, that may be difficult. And one of the most dangerous things that you and I can do as believers is to look at our circumstances as the measure of God's love for us. Don't go there. Look back to the cross this morning. Look back to the place where God demonstrated his love for you. Look back to that place where he delivered us from the debt of sin, from the slavery of sin, and from the ultimate wrath of God. As we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, may we take John's admonition. May we look back to the cross where the subject of God's love for us was once and for all settled. It's done. It is finished. Paid in full. If somebody gave my wife and I a check to pay off for our house, I'm not going to go to the bank the next week and say, hey, can I give you some money for this? They said, well, I don't understand what you're talking about, Mr. Viola. The debt has been paid, and your sin debt has been paid. Atonement has been accomplished for all mankind, but the debt was paid the moment that you opened your heart to Christ and you received him as your Lord. John Newell, in his commentary on the book of Revelation, wrote that it is the past tense gospel that the devil hates. It's a done deal. It's over. Smile, beloved. You're heaven bound. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. And when you and I understand the sinfulness of our sin, it only magnifies the greatness of God's incredible grace and mercy and love. All of those huge redemption words that we find in the Bible are linked to the blood. Redemption, propitiation, reconciliation, justification, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. All because of him. And to wash us in his own blood meant that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. He gave his life willingly. He laid down his life willingly. And he wouldn't have gone to the cross if man could be saved any other way. That's what Jesus prayed in the garden. He says, Father, as Son of Man, as he's sweating great drops of blood, if there's any other way to redeem them, let this cup pass. And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There's no other way for man's sins to be forgiven, no other way for your sin to be forgiven than by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 9, we're going to be reading this, should the Lord tarry. And they, that is the redeemed, sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I don't believe that they're going to have overheads for lyrics in heaven, but I know that this is one of the songs we're going to be singing. And I would recommend that we learn at least this chorus. We're going to be singing this new song, You Are Worthy. You see, there's only one in heaven that we're going to be saying, you are worthy to. We're not going to be patting one another on the back, how wonderful we are, how great we are. No, there's one great one. There's one worthy one. There's one that sits on the throne. You know what amazes me? When we get to heaven, we're not going to need somebody to kind of like pump us up. Okay, let's all sing this song now. Come on, let's all sing. Let's clap our hands. Let's raise our hands. No, all it takes is a vision of the living Lord. And then it's automatic. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's what we need. A glimpse of Christ, a glimpse of the risen one, and songs of praise are automatic. Notice the order. First loved unto him that loved us, then washed. First loved, then washed. This is significant. It wasn't that God washed us out of some sense of duty and then loved us. Okay, now that they're clean, I'll love them. He loved us while we were dirty. And he demonstrated that love by washing us with the blood of his Son. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 15 of his first epistle, 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In Mark 2:17, Jesus said to some self-righteous religious leaders, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, the implication is the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. God calls us to repent and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, in order to be saved. And that's because the only thing that can wash you and me from our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can free you or me of the guilt and torment of sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. But the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful. It not only washes from sin, it delivers, it heals. If you're here today and you've never been born again, if you've never been regenerated, it can be washed today. The gospel is for whosoever will. Revelation 22:17 says, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. But never interpret that word free as meaning cheap. The Bible does not teach a cheap grace, but a grace that is full of power to save those who repent and trust in Jesus Christ. You see, our only peace can be in the Lord Jesus. Many people look for peace in a church, or peace in relationships, or peace in their circumstances. And all of those things are transitory. Everything this side of glory is transitory, ever-changing. But there's only peace, real peace, in Jesus Christ. It's such a peace that the Bible even talks about a peace that passes understanding. When it doesn't seem to make sense, there's this peace of God. We've been washed. We've been redeemed to become a kingdom of priests. You and I, collectively, as believers, are called a royal priesthood. That's who We are. All born-again believers are collectively called a royal priesthood. Never is the word priest used in the singular sense in the New Testament apart from referring to Jesus Christ. Because he is the great high priest. He's the one that we go to. He's the one that we confess our sins to. We collectively are a royal priesthood. And we are witnesses and ambassadors of the living God. And then I like this: to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The revelation to John that his sins were washed in the blood of the Lamb just caused him to burst out with what is known theologically as a doxology. He just begins to praise the Lord. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I personally think that John just kept on going on and on, and the Holy Spirit says, we better put this to an end and go on with the rest of the prophecy. When you and I remember afresh this morning, and remember the price that was paid to redeem you. Don't think of the issues you're dealing with, your struggles, your fears, your pains, your worries. Don't think about those things presently. Think about who delivered you. Think about who said to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. Think of him. You know, you and I are living in perilous times. We are living in a world of turmoil. We are living in times of great uncertainty. But it's all in the hands of God. It's not like he's in heaven scratching his head saying, now how am I going to figure this mess out? He's got it all under control. But in a world that is so subject to change, there is one thing that you and I can be absolutely certain of as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice, we have been saved and called to have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to have a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. We've been called to have fellowship with Christ. Strong's Concordance tells us that the Greek meaning of the English word faithful can also be translated trustworthy, sure, true. That's our Lord. He's trustworthy. He's sure. He's true. At the end of the church age, we will be reading in Revelation 3:14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. At the end of the tribulation period, we're going to read in Revelation chapter 19, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And just before God Almighty wipes out this present earth and present universe, before he ushers in a new one, Revelation 21:5 says, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. All the way through Scripture, God tells his people, perhaps reminding us, because we have a tendency to forget, that he is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his people. God is faithful. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.